Christ.
And I speak to you in God's holy name, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Can you imagine the scene? Here's somebody who was hated by everybody because he was seen as a traitor for the Hebrew people because he was working with Rome, the colonializers. And he had come and was taking money from them, from the people, sending it to Rome, making a little bit on the side for himself. And here he is, this hated person who hears Jesus is coming, short of stature, climbs a tree to see Jesus, and Jesus basically invites him and embraces him. And you can well imagine all the people standing around grumbling and being angry and being mystified. We're the ones that are supposed to be chosen by God, and here you are choosing this outcasted person to come into your presence. What's going on here? You can picture it, right? And it happens in our own day. Because we have somebody who's often seen as an outcast to what we think is the right thing. And all of a sudden, this person is embraced. And we are mystified. Well, the simple answer to what's happening here, of course, is that Jesus knows that he has come to seek the lost. And anybody, symbolically in this metaphor of what we had today, who turns to Jesus is embraced by Jesus. It doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter about the history. It's the same story over and over in the scripture. Those who turn to God with intentionality are embraced by God, no matter when, no matter who, no matter what their history. And it is up to us to not bring our own judgments and our own insecurities and our own needs of feeling wanted and loved to block somebody else out because we are threatened by these others who come to the Lord and the Lord accepts them. And it's always a call to us to put aside our judgment and to remember that God is love. Today is All Saints Day, in a way, for us. It was happened the other day on Friday, but this is the end of our celebration of All Saints, our patronal festival for this year. And All Saints is an important thing for all people who turn to God are a saint. Who turn to God and feel a call to be baptized are a saint. So when you woke up this morning and you said, I'm going to turn my clock back and I'm going to make sure I'm in church, that was a saintly act. Even though you may not have thought you were a saint as you burnt the toast, you're a saint. So, about 6 months ago, I get a meditation, and some of you get it as well, from every day from a guy by the name of Richard Rohr. And he's a friend of our families. We communicate. And I wrote him and said, in all your work, would you think about All Saints Day? And if something occurs to you, put it out, because it's an important day in the life of the church. And he sent this out, and I've recopied it, and I share it with you. For we often wonder, living in 2019, going soon into 2020, what does it mean to be a saint in the church? Because sadly, the church has forgotten something. I don't know how many of you here know about a book called The Didache. The Didache was an early Christian manual put together by the early church. By the year 100 was the Didache. And it was a book for people who were joining the church. It was like a catechism. And the Didache talks about what you should know for doctrine of the early church by the year 100. The Gospels were still not settled which Gospels would be in the Scripture. The Scripture was not settled. There was a whole series of letters that were read, maybe up as many as almost 200, and they whittled it down finally to 27 books. So there was a lot of stuff happening. But the Didache was there, and they recently, in the last 10 years, have found another chapter of the Didache, which stated that the letter, that at that time wasn't a gospel, the letter of Matthew and the letter of Luke, the parts where we now call it the Beatitudes, were to be seen and understood as Jesus' commandments to Christians. That if you read and understood and memorized the Beatitudes and lived by it, that's really was what was being asked. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was in church in Quebec, in Quebec many years ago, we got the little New Testaments that came from the Gideons. You ever seen that little Gideon? Yeah, okay. So, and in that was the New Testament, but along with it was the Ten Commandments from Moses. But the Christians should have had in there the Beatitudes laid out instead of the Ten Commandments. And we were to learn, we should have been learning those. We may have learned the summary of the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, and with all your strength. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That comes out of Luke. You can also find it in Matthew. But we really should have been learning the Beatitudes. But here is a response to Beatitudes, and I thought they were so important that I've shared it with all of us today. The first is to learn that Jesus is a model for living more than an object of worship. We are to not just praise Jesus, which we do, and we worship Jesus, but Jesus' own actions, like going and embracing Zacchaeus, is a model for our own action for us living in 2019, 2020. We are to embrace the outcast. We are to embrace those who are hard to love. And it's a challenge, but that's the model. So when we read the gospel, we see Jesus' action, and it's a model for our action living today. We are to affirm people's potential is more important than reminding them of their brokenness. He didn't sit down with Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, you're one bad dude." He embraced Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, in his embrace, came to himself to recognize that, you know, he had to respond by giving back to the poor. He had to respond by reframing his life. But it happened not through being told how bad you are, but it was told by an embracing, having Jesus accept Zacchaeus. Number three, work at reconciliation should be valued over making judgments. We in this parish are one of the few parishes in our diocese that make an effort to intentionally work at reconciliation with First Nations. We recognize that our forebears had made mistakes with First Nations, and we name that, and we also seek to restore relationships, reconciliation. And that is the value, over instead of judging and saying, well, look at those people, they're drunks, they take off the taxpayers' money, or whatever it is that people say. We don't go there. We know that we are to be one and reconciling. And that's our call. Number four, gracious behavior is more important than right belief. Right belief. My wife is struggling where she works because there's this whole statement of this is what you must believe. And it doesn't really talk about the behavior. But a Christian is supposed to talk about, it's not so important about the correct belief because that's a man-made thing. It's more about a gracious behavior. How we are is important. Inviting questions is more valuable than supplying answers. That's a toughy one for a clergyman who's been told how and trained how, as Father Mike knows, we're supposed to be the answer guys. But as you heard this morning, I'm singing to some of the congregation one of my favorite songs. I know nothing, I know nothing, I know nothing at all. And that's important because I want to have questions. I'm not here to be the answer guy. I can, together in a process way, we can come to the answer. But there's no dogmatic this or that. It's in a process as things emerge for our time and place and what we know to be true. Number six is encouraging a personal search is more important than group uniformity. It's important that each of us has our own journey in faith. It's important that we all come to the answer that fits for us. We are not puppets on a string. God gave each and every one of us ability to think. And I, as a church person, have to encourage everybody to think for themselves and find their own answer. That is part of who we must be as progressive Anglicans following the way of Jesus. Zacchaeus thought for himself. He climbed the tree. When he was invited by Jesus, he thought and transformed his life. And that's saintly behavior. Meeting actual needs is more important than maintaining institutions. And that's true. We are here called to love. We are here called to love even the unlovable. And the church has been very guilty. The Anglican Church in particular has sometimes been guilty of trying to maintain the institution. I know that when I was in seminary and found some truths out about the origins of the Old Testament, and I wrote a paper and passed it in, and my professor sat me down. He was a big, tall guy, and I was on a little, tiny milk stool, and I was looking up. And he said, David, your paper is very interesting, but if you ever preach this, you're going to be defrocked. I've preached it many times, and I'm still here standing. But the truth is important. It's important to meet the real needs of real people in a real time, rather than pretending and just trying to maintain the institution. Peacemaking is more important than power. Our persons in the armed forces never wanted perpetual war. They were there working at making peace. Our actions historically are to bring the peace. Our people in uniform as policemen are there to maintain the right. We are all about working for peacemaking. And we're not trying to have power over. Canada is not a colonial power, but it did act in colonial ways. But we're moving beyond that, and we've learned our lessons. We should care more about love and less about sex. It's an important thing. We live in a society that has forgotten how to love. It's all about other things. And we turn people into objects. I work in addictions recovery, and I see it all the time. And we are called to be a people of love, and we are called to be a people who value individuals for who they are as people. Because when you get into that other thing, then everybody becomes an object. And we are here not to make objects, but to here to value people. That's the Jesus way. And number 10, life in this world is more important than the afterlife. The afterlife is God's work anyway. It's important that we work now to create heaven on earth. There are churches that spend a lot of time talking about how many are going to be saved and so on. And I'm not going to name them. You know for yourselves what that is. But what's important for us is to build a community of inclusion and of love and of caring, where everyone is considered to be a child of God. All of us are equal children of God, and all of us are valued just as Zacchaeus was valued by Jesus, as well as all the other people that were responding to Jesus. We must see that we are building a community of caring, a community of inclusion. So being a saint is a challenge. But being a saint is also calling us to stand against some of the other movements that are in our culture and stand up to be a people of love. And I pray today, as you receive the sacrament to which we're all involved and all invited, to come and receive it and to know it's an affirmation of God's love alive in each and every one of us. May God bless us all as we journey. Amen.